Chapter 91. Shoving off already? Summer asked. She stood on the Aegean Explorer's bridge, watching a pair of crewmen hoist in and stow the forward mooring line. It had been less than an hour since the ship had touched the dock at Limassol, and she and Dirk had climbed aboard. Pitt stood near the helm, sipping a cup of coffee. We've got to get back around to the western side of the Akrotiri Peninsula in order to keep tabs on Rudy's AUV, he said. I thought you were surveying with the towed sonarfish. We are. We actually completed our first grid off Pizuri and started a new survey grid to the west. But Rudy reconfigured the AUV for side-scan sonar duty, so we put her to work. She's currently running a large grid to the east of Pizuri. We'll keep pushing west with the Explorer and cover twice as much ground. Makes sense, she replied. How much longer will the AUV stay under? She'll be down another 18 hours before surfacing. That will allow us a good run of our own before having to pick her up. Dad, I'm sorry we didn't come up with more promising research to go on. Your fresco seems to confirm the role of the Pizuri wreck as one of the pirate ships. If the galley exists, we've got a good chance of being in the ballpark. The Aegean Explorer proceeded to steam south around the stubby Akrotiri Peninsula, then turned northwest toward Pizuri, some 20 miles away. The research ship's sensors soon made contact with a pair of floating transducer buoys, which relayed data from the AUV as it glided over the seabed 200 feet beneath the surface. While Gunn and Jordina reviewed the AUV's results, Pitt launched the towed sonarfish off the stern of the Explorer, sharing monitoring duties with Dirk and Summer. It was 9 the next morning when Summer stepped onto the bridge with a cup of hot coffee, ready to relieve her father in front of the screen. "Anything new at the picture show?" she asked. "A repeat is playing, I'm afraid," Pitt replied, standing and stretching. "The same rock and sand that's been rolling by all night. Outside of a small sunken fishing boat that Dirk picked up, it's been slim pickings." "I just checked with Al in the survey shack," she said, slipping into Pitt's seat. "He said they've got similar results with the AUV." "We're nearly at the end of this grid," Pitt said. "Shall we keep working west?" Summer smiled at her father. "When it comes to finding a shipwreck, I know better than to question your instincts." "Then west it is," he replied with a wink. Captain Kenfield stepped over from the helm and spread out a local marine chart across the table. "Where exactly would you like to configure the next grid?" he asked Pitt. "We'll just extend the current grid, running as close to shore as we can get. Let's run another 2 miles west, to this point here," he said, pointing to a small coastal promontory on the map. "Fair enough," Kenfield said. "I'll run the coordinates to Petra to Romeo, as it says on the chart, or the Rock of Aphrodite." Summer stiffened in her chair. "Did you say the Rock of Aphrodite?" she asked. Kenfield nodded, then retrieved a dog-eared traveler's guide to Cyprus, shelved behind the chart table. "I was just reading about it last night. Petra to Romeo, or Rock of Romeos, takes its name from a Byzantine folk hero who allegedly tossed huge boulders into the sea to ward off pirates. The large rock formations are still visible in the surf. However, the site is also known from ancient times as the place where Aphrodite, the patron goddess of Cyprus, emerged from the sea in a wave of foam."
"Dad, that's it," Summer said, jumping from her seat. "The Aphrodite image was in the fresco. It didn't represent the temple at Stavrovouni, where the monastery stands. It's where the Roman galley was headed. Someone on shore, or perhaps the pirates themselves, saw the galley fleeing toward the rocks."
"It's roughly within sight of the Pizuri wreck site," Kenfield noted. "I'll buy it," Pitt said, smiling at his daughter's enthusiasm. "The Rock of Aphrodite it is. Let's go see if the goddess will show us some love." A short time later, they reached the end of the survey lane and pulled in the towfish. As the ship changed course to resume its search down the coast, a palpable optimism surged through the bridge. Caught up in the anticipation, no one noticed the small boat trailing a half mile behind, where Ridley Bannister followed the turquoise ship with a pair of binoculars glued to his eyes.